بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected listeners, we just discussed recently the great life of the Sahabi رضي الله عنه, who was known as غسيل الملائكة. When the Malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sent to make his ghusl, his washing of his body. The Sahabi was Hanzala radiallahu anhu. He participated in the battle of Uhud. Look at his bravery. That morning he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ijazat. He made it for Fajr, even though he was wedded the previous night. He spent time with his wife Jamila radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abdullah bin Ubay. Abdullah bin Ubay, we all should know, my respected listeners, was the leader of the Munafiqeen in Medina Munawwara. The leader of the Munafiqeen. And another associate of Abdullah bin Ubay was another man by the name of Abu Amir. Abu Amir was a rabbi. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into Medina Munawwara, Abu Amir and Abdullah bin Ubay were, so to say, working together. Abdullah bin Ubay worked from inside. And Abu Amir left Medina Munawwara to bring the Meccans and the Mushrikeen to come and invade the Muslims from outside. That's why even in the Battle of Uhud, there was, so to say, an association and they worked together. Abdullah bin Ubay, before the Muslims reached the battlefield, he had withdrawn with one-third the army, 300 of them. So from 1,000, there were only 700 left. But look at the time in which he chose to seclude himself or to withdraw. He didn't stay behind from the time the Muslims departed from Medina. As the Muslims arrived in the battlefield where they were within the eyesight of the enemy, at that point Abdullah bin Ubay withdrew. And what was his excuse? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make faisla, did not make decision on my opinion. What was his sinister plan? To crumble the Muslims from within. And also, he used a double-edged sword. He wanted to strengthen the morale of the mushrikeen. That's why he chose that opportune moment to hurt the Muslims. And we learn the quality of the munafiq. What is the quality of the munafiq? That he is not happy with mashura. Mashura is to bring unity, is to bring muhabbat, is to bring understanding. Now, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed the decision, he made as though he's going along. And then he stabs the Muslims from behind to say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pass decision on my view. I'm very, very upset at that. And he departed. And then Abu Amir, he worked from the other side. He addressed the Ansar before the battlefield, before Uhud. And he says to them, you know, and he expected that they will see him and they will desert Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ansar shouted at him saying, La an'amallahu bika aynan ya fasiq. Our eyes are not cooled. Our eyes are not pleased to see you, O fasiq. They didn't call him rabbi, O respected scholar. They called him fasiq, O one who has openly sinned and fought against Allah's deen. So Allah kept the Muslims firm. But look at Hamdallah radiallahu anhu. Look at his sacrifice. In the battlefield, he actually went against a man who was on horseback, and he was a foot soldier. And then he was made shaheed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the malaika of Allah, she sees water dripping from him, and the malaika of Allah ta'ala made ghusl of the sahabi. That night, Jamila radiallahu anha, she spent with her husband. They were wedded. Then her husband the next day heard the announcement and he went in the path of Allah Ta'ala, oblivious of the fact that he had to make ghusl. So conscious or worried about going in Allah's path, this sahabi was. Then that day, Jamila radiallahu anha, what a sincere sahabiya she was, Allahu Akbar. She calls four people from her family to bear testimony, to bear witness that my husband spent the night with me. Strange was why she actually called them to come and bear witness to this. Because which woman would want to tell another person from her family that my husband was with me last night? But look at her intention. So فَأَرْسَلَتْ إِلَىٰ أَرْبَعَةٍ مِّن قَوْمِهَا فَأَشْهَدَتْهُمْ. She made them witness. that my husband was with me last night. So when she was asked, لِمَا فَعَلْتِ هَذَا? Why did you inform people of this? And why did you want witnesses for this? You know, meaning to this information. So she said, I saw a dream. كَأَنَّ السَّمَاءَ انْفَرَجَتْ. That the sky opened up. And my husband had entered into the sky. And then the sky closed up. And I realized that the interpretation of this dream is martyrdom. Allah will make my husband a martyr. So I wanted witnesses to bear testimony that I am bearing my husband's child in my stomach. A shaheed's child in my stomach. That's why I held on to my husband and I wanted to be with him as much as possible before he goes in Allah's path. Because I wanted, with Allah's help, I wanted the rahmat of Allah to bear the child of a shaheed. To bear the child of a shaheed. Something amazing, my respected listeners, is take note of the mizaj, the temperament of Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That deen was priority. Allah's pleasure was their goal, was their maqsood, was their matloob. You and I normally would say, no, a woman of today's times would think, if this man is going to die, if she had some hint, wallahu alam, if this man is going to leave this world, where she is going to want to bear his child? Even if that person was to pass away in Allah's path, where would a woman today want to bear the child of such a person? Rather, I get into another marriage as quick as possible without any baggage. That's how it's called today. Look at Sahaba's temperament. That this man is going to be shaheed in Allah's cause. What an honor it is to bear his child. This is the temperament of Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And also, the other side of it also, was look at the temperament of the men of the ummah also, the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, and the Sahabiyat. That pity was given for a woman also. That her husband has passed away in Allah's path, or her husband, you know, has left this world. She has children, who will take care of her? That was also another part of the temperament or the environment of that time. That environment was so pure, that environment was so sincere, that environment was such a pure environment. From that night's barakat, that the husband was with his wife, they were newly wedded, the husband made it for Fajr, and then he came back to his wife, and then he strove in the path of Allah, and the beautiful intentions of that mother, to bear the child who will be the son of a shaheed. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. With such beautiful intentions of parents, my respected listeners, come the most beautiful of children. From that union came a special child who was known as the son of Ghaseelul Malaika, of that Sahabi who was washed and anointed by the Malaika of Allah Ta'ala. The Sahabi's name was Abdullah. Abdullah. So Jamila radiallahu anha kept his name Abdullah. Abdullah, the son of Hanzala, who was Ghaseelul Malaika. So his father was Ghaseelul Malaika. So what about this Abdullah? Now this Abdullah was also a Sahabi, my respected listeners. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns from the expedition, Uhud. And not long after that, this little baby was born. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, this little child would have been 7 or 8, approximately 7 years old. And now, this child was very young and tender in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would show compassion to this child. This child used to sit and listen to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see him, فَكَانَ sallallahu alaihi wasallam يَعْطِفُ عَلَيْهِ وَيَمْسَحُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ وَيَدْعُوا لَهُ بِالْبَرَكَةِ وَالْخَيْرِ وَالْعِلْمِ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would show compassion to this child. He would pat him on the head and make dua of barakat, of khayr, of ilm for this child. That Allah bless him. Allah give him goodness and Allah give him the knowledge of deen. Allah give him knowledge. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would show compassion to this child. What was amazing about this child is whatever this child learned from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would emulate it, he would practice it. وَكَانَ دَائِمَ الْوُضُوءُ. This Abdullah would always keep in wudu because he learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the importance of being in wudu all the time. Let's take this lesson because our purpose, one of the objectives of learning about Sahaba radiallahu anhum is to bring amal into our life. It's such a beautiful practice to be in wudu all the time, my respected listeners. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's the sign of iman. It's the sign of iman that a person will keep in wudu all the time. When a person will always be in wudu and always want to renew his wudu and always want to be in wudu, in the state of wudu, that is the sign of iman. It's not something difficult. Sometimes we relieve ourselves. As coming out from the restroom, from the bathroom, what's the difficulty of just making wudu as we come out? Make wudu and come out. So that even though we're not going for salah, but we are in the state of wudu, it is a natural and a spiritual protection for us. It's a spiritual protection from evil thoughts, from shayateen whispering into our hearts, from evil planning. A person will find, you will experience it yourself, my respected listeners, that our thoughts will be cleaner just because of the barakat of being in the state of wudu. And imagine passing away in the state of wudu. And also simple things like, before going to sleep, the sunnah, the masnoon practice is to make wudu like we make wudu for salah. It is masnoon, it is sunnah. Before going to sleep, we should bring this practice. The malaika of Allah spend the night with this person when he spends his night in wudu. And the whole night he's getting sawab. So there's a lot of virtues in the amal of keeping in wudu all the time. We learn this from the sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There's an amazing incident. Abdullah bin Yazid Khatmi, who was the governor of Kufa, he says, we visited Qais bin Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu. Now Qais bin Sa'd bin Ubadah is a very senior sahabi. And he was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this sahabi used to bring all information to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qais bin Sa'd bin Ubadah. And he was very big in size. So anyway, these sahaba went to visit Qais bin Sa'd bin Ubadah. And amongst the visitors was Abdullah, the son of Hamdallah. And then, it was time of salah, so they were making salah there. So, Qais bin Sa'd bin Ubadah performed the adhan, and then we said to Qais radiallahu anhu, you make the namaz for us. So Qais said, no, how can I make imamat? There's other senior people here, and I'm not your governor or your amir. There's another person who's the governor of Kufa. Someone else can, you know, he can make the imamat. They were making the salah in the home. So for some reason, probably they were far from the masjid, or it had just past, you know, the salah in the masjid had been completed and they were a group, so they were performing the jamaat. So Abdullah bin Hamdala radiallahu anhu said, this young sahabi who we're speaking about said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ أَحَقُّ بِصَدْرِ دَابَّتِهِ وَصَدْرِ فِرَاشِهِ وَأَيَّ أُمَّ فِي رَحْلِهِ. The sahabi Abdullah radiallahu anhu narrates this beautiful hadith, wherein he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person has most right to sit in the best seat of his conveyance. And he has most right to sit in his special cushion in his home. Meaning he has a special cushion or a special chair, and he is the owner of the house. It is his right to sit on that chair. And thirdly, if salah had to take place somehow because of certain circumstance in his home, and they are making jamaat of salah, which is preferred, then he must, the man who has most right to make the imamat is the person who is the owner of the house. We learn from here, my respected listeners, that sometimes we visit people. It shouldn't be that we come into the home and we just take the best seat of the house. It is bad akhlaq, it is bad akhlaq to do so. It is the respect of the owner of the house to have his special seat. Generally these lounges also have a specific seat, has a certain couch that is, you know, of more advanced or more expensive or more beautiful or more comfortable. Sit, we should, out of akhlaq, a person welcomed us into his home, sit in the ordinary chairs. Unless the owner of the house insists and wants to make our ikram and makes us sit in his seat, then that is a different case. Like visiting a person in his office, do not sit in his main chair. That is part of the teachings of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is conveyed to us by this sahabi, this young sahabi who learnt it from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many lessons from there. Sahaba of all ages used to benefit from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sahabi is hearing this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and conveying it to us. And also we learn from here. We visit a person in his home. Because of some circumstance, namaz was taking place because somehow maybe it was missed or, in jamaat. So we learn from there also that salah should not be missed in the masjid. Only out of circumstance, if it was missed, then in that case it was performed in the home, jamaat should be performed. And also in that jamaat, it's that person's home. We shouldn't rush to make the imamat. Let the owner of the house make the imamat. But if the owner of the house doesn't have that amount of knowledge and he insists another person to go forward, in that case, the next person should go forward and then perform the salah. Not just as another person goes, in the presence of the owner of that house or property. How beautiful is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that that person who is the owner in his property, his izzat and his honor is kept. And even in a person's car, the best seat should go to that person who owns the car. He should have that seat. We shouldn't rush unless that person insists. This is the beautiful teachings of our deen, the akhlaq of our deen, that it teaches us all aspects of life. Every aspect of life, we find the teachings in our deen. And who taught it to us? It was the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Young and old sahaba radiallahu anhum, every one of them learned the deen, preserved it, protected it. And they kept it and they shared it with the ummah in its pristine, pure form, my respected listeners. Another hadith, this young sahabi radiallahu anhu, who came from that beautiful mubarak wedlock of those two parents who made qurbani and sacrifice. The sahabi radiallahu anhu narrates that this hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time will come upon mankind. يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٍ لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذْ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time will come upon the people that a person will start not bothering what does he consume. Whether he consumes halal or haram becomes the least of his worries. He's not bothered. Everything would be just to devour and eat and put it down. And he's not worried. He's not concerned whether what he eats is halal and haram. How beautiful is the teachings of this hadith, my respected listeners, narrated to us by this great sahabi radiallahu anhu. We learn from there. We should be cautious. We shouldn't just eat anything. Everything we find, everything we see, whether from the streets, whichever, you know, area we go to, whatever the franchise, we don't make sure whether it's halal or haram. This is one of the signs of qiyamah. Like for our medical treatment, we go to find a proper physician, a proper, you know, a person who has knowledge in that regard, and regard, especially if it's a serious problem, a heart transplant. We won't just go to any mechanic. In the same way, regarding our deen, we should make sure what we're eating is halal. If something has some doubt or there's some question regarding a certain aspect, rather eat of that which has no doubt. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Da'ma yaribuk ila ma la yaribuk." If something has some doubt regarding it, it's contentious, rather partake of that has no doubt in it at all. And we learn this from the sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala. So this was a very, very great sahabi. All his life he spent in serving deen, in reading the Qur'an, in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. To such an extent that when he would hear the Qur'an, he used to cry. It's reported that on one occasion he was listening to the Qur'an and then the verse came. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لهم من فوق لهم من جهنم مهاد ومن فوقهم غواش لهم من جهنم مهاد ومن فوقهم غواش. Allahu Akbar. The Sahabi was listening to the verses of the Quran and then the discussion of Jahannam came. يتجرعه ولا يكاد يسيغه ويأتيه الموت من كل مكان. He listens to the Quran and then this discussion comes of Jahannam, that their bedding in Jahannam will be such and their covering in Jahannam will be such. And this verse describes this. And the Sahabi Abdullah radiallahu anhu starts to cry. And he cries, and he cries, and he cries. That the students, his students around him felt that he passed away. And after some time when he got up, he stands. He was told, Ya Aba Abdul Rahman, uq'ud, sit, you're looking weak. He said, Mana'a minni dhikru jahannam al-qu'ud. He stood up again to continue his salah. So they're telling him to sit, relax, take it easy. He says, Quran mentioning Jahannam, this refuses me, this does not allow me to sit, I have to continue. وَلَا أَدْرِي لَعَلِّي أَحَدُهُمْ. How do I know? I know not whether I will also be thrown in Jahannam. Look at the humbleness of this Sahabi radiallahu anhu. What a great Sahabi, but look at his consciousness of Allah. It's reported about Abdullah radiallahu anhu, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِعَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ حَنْظَلَ فِرَاشٌ يَنَامُ عَلَيْهِ. Look at his consciousness of Allah. He never even had a bed or a bedding. إِنَّمَا كَانَ يُلْقِي نَفْسَهُ إِلَىٰ أَعْيَى مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. He would make salah, abundance of salah in tahajjud, make so much of salah. And then when he would get exasperated and tired, يَتَوَسَّدُ رِدَاءَهُ. From salah he would just complete and take his shawl and put it as his pillow, and use his arms as his pillow, and he used to sleep like that, wherever it was. On the floor, no bedding, all his life. This was the simplicity of this Sahabi radiallahu anhu, who really understood the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this world is like the shade of a tree, like a traveler, and he's passing that shade, and he takes shelter under that shade, and then after that he departs and he continues on his journey. And they understood the hadith, the reality of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: إذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء وإذا أمسيت فلا تنتظر الصباح. That when you wake up in the morning, don't expect or don't be sure that you're going to be alive at night when nightfall comes. And if you reach the nightfall, don't be sure that you're going to wake up in the morning. It's only Allah who knows everything. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum had the reality of this, that death can come at any time. We have to be ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Sahabi gave his life for Allah's deen. And it was in the year 63, it was a sad occasion, where this Sahabi radiallahu anhu passed away in battlefield. Him and his sons, and his seven sons, all together, they became shaheed in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Abdullah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhum says that I saw Abdullah bin Hanzala radiallahu anhu in my dream after he had passed away, and he was looking so nurani and beautiful. So I said to him that, haven't you passed away? Weren't you shaheed? So I said to him, so he responded, yes, I have met my Lord, and Allah has given me the most beautiful Jannat, and I am now enjoying the fruit and the environs of Jannat, and I go into Jannat wherever I want. I'm roaming about in Jannat. So Abdullah bin Abi Sufyan said, I asked him, what about those Saatis who were with you, who became shaheed with you? What happened to them? He said, they also around me, they're with me. They're also carrying their banner, still carrying the banner, and the banner has not yet been untied up till now. And then Abdullah bin Abi Sufyan says, then I got up. So this was the beautiful lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But my respected listeners, which union did this young Sahabi come from? From that great sacrifice of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So we learn from there that when we're going to strive for Allah's deen, when we're going to give our lives for Allah's deen, when we're going to sacrifice for Allah ta'ala's deen, Allah through that barakat will accept our children to stand firm for his deen. Allah Ta'ala will accept our children to sacrifice for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So that's why also, us also, which part we going to play? Strive for Allah's deen, do for Allah's deen, sacrifice for Allah Ta'ala's deen. Allah will bless us and accept our children for his deen. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Let's all, you know, read three quotes for this Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we can, you know, Allah Ta'ala accept us for his deen, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummiyya bi rahmatika ya Allah.